Magnificat, anima mea Dominum.
Et exultavit spiritus meus in Deus salutari meo.
Quia respexit humilitatem ancile suae, exenim ex hoc beata medicent omnes generationes.
Quia fecit mi magna qui potens est, et sanctum nomen eius.
Et misericordia eius a progenie in progenie, mentibus eum.
February 15, 2020, 1 Kings 22, 26-32. Jeroboam thought to himself, "As things are, the kingdom will revert to the house of David. If this people continues to go up to the temple of Yahweh in Jerusalem to offer sacrifices, the people's heart will turn back again to their lord, Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will put me to death." So the king thought this over and then made two golden calves. He said to the people, "You have been going up to Jerusalem long enough. Here is your God, Israel, who brought you out of Egypt." He set one at the Bethel, and the people went in procession in front of the other one all the way to Dan. In Israel, this gave rise to sin, for the people went to Bethel to worship the one, and all the way to Dan to worship the other. He set up shrines on the high places and appointed priests from ordinary families who were not of Levitical descent. Jeroboam also instituted a feast in the 8th month, on the 15th of the month, like the feast kept in Judah, when he offered sacrifices on the altar. This he did at Bethel, offering sacrifices to the calves which he had made, and, at Bethel, installing the priests of the high places which he had set up. Jeroboam did not give up his wicked ways after this incident, but went on appointing priests for the high places from the common people. He consecrated as priests of the high places any who wished to be. Such conduct made the house of Jeroboam a sinful house and caused its ruin and extinction from the face of the earth. Today we hear about an abuse of religion for politics or for one's own striving for power. This is a more than bad thing, because here one abuses the most sacred thing for one's own interest. So it is not only a spiritual confusion, but an elementary fraud against God and the believing people. This is obviously happening with a more or less clear consciousness. How can one get so far away from God? With Solomon, we heard about the seduction by his wives, and that he turned to idolatry. Obviously, his weakness towards the beauty and erotism of women became his downfall. This is reminiscent of the sin of his father David, which David repented and was forgiven before God. With Jeroboam, it is a fear of losing power and the fear for his own life. The combination of both elements is a deadly danger. The seduction by the power goes very deep into the human being and connects him spiritually with the rebellion of Lucifer against God. Obviously, the power seems to convey something like one greatness and quasi-divinity to the human being. One gets intoxicated by it, and it puts man into an unreal existence. The unreality consists in the fact that one believes that one can do almost everything by his own power, without having to account to God, and in a certain way also to humans. Lucifer, as we know, did not want to serve and wanted to have the power of God himself. So it has something to do with delusion. That means a step into a sick world of one's own ideas, in which one's own person is exaggerated excessively. With Jeroboam, there is also the fear of not only losing his power, but he also sees his life threatened by a loss of power. This makes his actions even more thoughtless and blind to the reality of God. In this way, he becomes a seducer of the Israelites, even appointing as priests those who wanted it, thus perverting this high office. The result, the house of Jeroboam was destroyed because of sin. So much for the biblical report. Even more tragic than the weakness is the pride and the striving for power. It is easier for a person to become aware of his weakness, sometimes shamefully, than to realize his striving for power and prestige. It is a great evil to want to be great in oneself. This does not always have to take the extreme forms as with Jeroboam, but can be very finely settled in the heart of people. The Lord has given us the remedy in his person and in his word. True dominion, as it is pleasing before God and as God himself exercises it, is service out of love. For us human beings, this means always in the responsibility before God. Here it is necessary to be very attentive to ourselves and to ask the Lord to overcome in our hearts all striving for power and pride, so that no flattery, whether from the outside or the inside, can corrupt us. The daily meditation that everything is given to us by God, and the humble recognition of our own limitations, make us realistic and free us from the delusion of arrogance. As was so beautifully stated in the testimony of Roy Sherman a few days ago, when he had an encounter with the Mother of the Lord in a dream. She said to him, who was raptured by her apparition, "You do not understand anything. I am a creature. Everything comes from him." The vision and imitation of Mary is a cure for Jeroboam's sickness. Instead of seeking one's own greatness and not wanting to serve like Lucifer, Our Lady says, "Behold, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. It shall be done unto me according to thy word." And, "My soul magnify the greatness of the Lord. On the lowliness of his handmaiden he looked upon." This is the answer to all manner of egoism, Luciferian power, and all forms of self-indulgence.
And of course, today we want to hear this great praise of Our Lady, the Magnificat, in Latin. So we have already heard the first part at the beginning of the meditation, and we'll now go on with the following verses.
Feci potentiam in brachio suo, dispersit superbos mente cordi sui.
Deposuit potentes de sede, et exaltavit humiles.
Exoriendes in plebit bonis, et divides dimisit in anes.
Suscepit Israel puerum suo, recordatus misericordiae suae.
Sicut locutus est ad patres nostros, Abraham et semini eius nos in saecula.
Gloria Patri et Filio et Spiritui Sancto.
Sicut erat in principio et